There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Welcome back, everybody. We missed one of my favorite people on Monday. Of course, that's because we were all celebrating Labor Day. Yes, we were. We were having a great time celebrating Labor Day. I was laboring on Labor Day. I was laboring in the backyard. I did get an opportunity to jump in the pool, though. So don't feel sorry for me, because I was enjoying myself tremendously. Whenever you take over a project or take on a project, and you know it's going to be daunting and it's going to take a while, but at the end of it, you actually accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. Tremendous exhilaration for you. But when it comes to plumbing, I'll do anything but plumbing. Anything, because you can take the whole thing completely apart, put it all completely back together, you turn the water on, and it goes drip, 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 drip. Same way it did when you started. I hate plumbing. But I was working on my sprinklers, and I actually got them to work properly. I am so excited. I'm about ready to bust. Anyway, the person that I was talking about that we missed on Monday, of course, was Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. He is normally in on Mondays at 5 o'clock. And 5 o'clock, you were what, coming home?
Yes, coming home from
Houston?
Vacationing.
From vacation. Yeah, well, and did you have a good time?
It didn't work like I thought it would. You know, I don't want to say online what it was, but
my sprinklers worked out better than your vacation.
there's sometimes things don't go the way you wish.
Yeah, that's true. We're of course wishing and hoping that this coming Tuesday that things work out extremely well in the recall of Gavin Newsom. It would change things tremendously, because there is a lot going on right now in the field of medicine, and I want people to be aware of this. There's a huge number of nurses and actually a lot of people in the medical industry that are refusing to take the vaccine. And, you know, if this isn't reversed, this is going to create a vacuum, and we are going to be we're going to be behind the eight ball, because we will not have the personnel necessary to take care of patients. And you know, that's me talking. That's not Dr. Mensink talking. That's me. I've talked to a lot of nurses. Of course, went out to the rallies and talked to them. They're constantly in contact with me, telling me that you know, if Newsom stays in and there isn't any change in this mandate of vaccines and masks, that they will be finding probably work outside of the state of California. Because, I mean, every state needs doctors and nurses. There's just no doubt about it. Every state needs doctors and nurses, and it's like we're just shooting ourselves in the foot with this whole thing. So I urge you, between now and Tuesday, if you're going to vote and drop it off, do so. Vote yes that you want to recall Gavin Newsom. And then if you're going to vote like I do, which is the day of, do the same thing. Just vote yes. We need to get rid of this guy. Let's put somebody in that understands that we cannot be open for business with these mandates. We just can't. Okay, so Dr. Mensink, we are going to talk about precocious puberty today.
Yes, I thought that would be interesting.
Now, this isn't the, oh, isn't she precocious? Now, everybody's heard that saying, but do you really know what precocious means?
Terry, what it means, in fact, from a medical point of view, it's a defined age when you start showing sexual characteristics.
Okay.
Right? That's sort of the bottom line. And for girls, before 8 years old.
Would be precocious puberty?
Okay. For boys, before 9 years old.
So, you know, I'd always been under the impression that there was like a 2-year lag for boys in terms of their maturity.
Probably 1 year. Oh, we'll get into that in a little bit.
You know why I came up with that? Because what? When you're a freshman, you notice that all the freshman girls are dating the juniors.
Yeah. Terry, there's a whole bunch of things that are coming out about this. for secondary sexual characteristics, which is, you know, essentially puberty, all right?
Right.
Going through that process, we know that boys are delayed behind girls. We've known that for years, all right? And there's lots of reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the thing that most people don't realize, all right? Everybody knows boys are delayed more than girls.
Right,
all right?
Right.
But probably the bigger issue, Terry, is that there is a difference between races.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. All right? And for instance, at age 8, between 8 and 9, 50% of all black girls have mm-hmm. what we call breast buds. That's little miniature nipples. Starting to get
develop.
Adult breasts, all right? They call them breast buds. 50% of all blacks.
Okay.
But only 15% of the same age demographic of whites have breast buds.
Is that just a contrast between whites and blacks?
It's whites and blacks. Also, by the way, Hispanics are earlier. I don't have the data.
But not as early as blacks.
I don't know that, Terry.
Okay.
Some people, I didn't have time to sort of search that out. There's some people say it's the same as blacks. Some people say it's less than, not quite as bad. I don't know. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, Hispanics and blacks are earlier than Caucasian. All right.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And that, we'll get into probably later in the program some of the issues of what that brings out, because there's major issues with this. The second thing is that I want to just talk about what, if you have a son or a daughter you think has precocious puberty, what are the issues from it? What is it from when you see the doctor, the pediatrician or family practice doctor, what is he thinking about? What's going through his mind?
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what I want to talk about today. And what's going through the doctor's mind when he sees a kid with possibly precocious puberty? And then what does he do about it? What's the workup and what are the issues that have to be addressed?
Okay, we're not going to talk today about retarded puberty.
No, that's something totally different.
Okay, and then maybe we should talk about that sometime too, because I think we're seeing some of that
we
too.
We talked about that between the break. That might be good to talk about, but because there is such a thing too. So
This
is not delayed puberty. This is early puberty. All
right? Early
now,
puberty.
One other thing, Terry, before I want to give a caveat or a disclaimer, if that's the right word. We're going to talk about what goes through the doctor's mind, all right?
Right.
And there's a bunch of serious issues and illnesses that need to be looked, the doctor will think about.
Mm-hmm.
But, Terry, these are rare. 99% of these kids are normal. It's called functional precocious puberty.
Well,
tough luck.
We're
going to talk about that.
The doctors would have been called detectives, but the name was already taken.
It's a good way of looking at it.
My dad used to say that.
Yeah, but it's there's what we're going to talk about, Terry, are some of these things that the doctor, he's not going to talk to you about that. So he's going to look at these things himself. This is what goes to the doctor's mind. But they're rare, Terry.
Now,
they have to be looked at, okay, because they are potentially, oh my gosh, serious things.
Now, right? Would this usually be in a pediatrician's office or a general practice?
Either or.
Okay.
Either or. These are rare.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these things I've never seen a case of. We'll talk about some of them I have, all right? But they need to be addressed in a kid. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Most of these kids are being followed by pediatricians, so it's going to be pediatricians or a good family practice doctor would do. Internal medicine wouldn't have a clue about this.
No.
Wouldn't be on their radar screen, believe me. All right? Now, I better just back up. We're getting more over the last probably 15 years, more and more dual residencies where you have both internal medicine and pediatrics fellowship.
Okay.
So that's more common. It used to be they knew nothing about it. All right. But there's more and more internal medicine doctors who did a peds fellowship for an extra year that it can do it just as good as a family practice doctor.
Interesting.
Or a pediatrician. But that's just, that's the medical culture is changing, all right, with the residencies. But the average internal medicine doctor is not going to have a clue what's going on here.
Right.
So what does the doctor do? All right. The first thing the doctor, and this is probably good for the parent to think about, but if you've got a child with precocious puberty, the first thing the doctor wants to ask mom and the kid about, is there any question of anabolic steroid ingestion or use, all right? For girls, all right, is a girl taking any birth control,
mm-hmm.
all right? And girls, especially if they don't have a good relationship with mom,
mm-hmm.
all right, will get birth control from older girls,
right,
and start using it so they can become sexually active. All right, And that's the first thing you have to ask. Girls taking birth control, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Because that would induce the development of the secondary characteristics.
All right?
Right.
Number two, for boys, all right?
Yeah.
And this is especially probably the kids that don't have fathers in the homes and don't have a good relationship. They're getting into gangs and things like that. We'll talk about that later on because there's a high risk of these kids going into gangs with premature puberty. But these kids will get anabolic
steroids
from the older kids from the gyms or whatever, all right, and take them, and they'll get precocious puberty. Now, here's the problem, Terry.
Okay. Right?
We ask people, in fact, let me ask you this, because I don't know if you know this, but precocious puberty, so this kid starts growing, his growth spurt earlier.
Right.
And quicker. He's all of a sudden, this kid, the growth spurt starts, they grow like, they're a 7-year-old, they're growing like a 10-year-old kind of thing, all right?
Sure.
And they have early precocious puberty signs. What happens to the end result? Are they bigger than most kids when they're adults or smaller than most kids?
Smaller.
I'm impressed, Terry. Yeah. They are smaller. People don't realize this, okay?
No.
They're actually smaller. So these kids in adulthood are actually smaller, all right? And why does this happen? Because they start out growing faster, but their metaphysis, their bone growth and body growth slows quicker.
Right.
All right?
Right.
So they actually end up being smaller. You think exactly, the public thinks exactly the opposite. Well, he's starting, he's have his growth spurt at 7, or 8, and he's going to be, 6 feet tall, 6 feet five, maybe. No, exactly the opposite. He will end up being shorter. All right?
Well, actually, when they start having a bit of a growth spurt, but then they also start developing the muscles, I mean, that is indicative of somebody who's going to stop growing pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
Because when they start growing and the muscles still are looking more immature and they really haven't developed, that's the guy who's going to be tall.
Yeah. It's interesting, but the other thing that's important, why this is important for a mom,
mm-hmm.
especially with girls, is this earlier your puberty, the higher the risk is breast cancer is down the road. All right.
By breast cancer down the road, you're talking about
40, 50, 60.
Okay,
Not now. No, not then. All right. So a mom wants her kid to have a delayed, slow onset of puberty for the risk of breast cancer to be lower. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So from a doctor's point of view, I want you to just so you a lady comes in at age 45 with a breast lesion, and she's shorter than her peers. Would you, as a doctor, think that?
I'd start asking questions.
Yeah,
when did your puberty start?
It started early. Boy,
yeah,
I started having periods when I was 8.
Of breast cancer. Yeah. Right? So it's significant down the road. All right.
Let's take a break right there because we are a little bit past on break. I mean, it's a fascinating subject. Fascinating subject. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensing from The Practice, and we are talking about precocious puberty in both boys and girls. So this is going to be some good stuff. I've got a couple of questions already written down that I want to certainly throw at Dr. Mensing. So stick around. We will be right back.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. Bakersfield's choice for local Kern County news. AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
It's getting longer too. Music sounded good to me, but I wanna, said I wanna take you higher.
Let me take you higher. When this became a chartable song, sung by Ike and Tina Turner. But it was what, Iketts? It was originally done by the Iketts, which, of course, was Ike with his group of women that were his Etts. That came out wrong. But anyway, when they appeared on Shindig, it was the Iquettes. Very difficult to find just that. I had a tough time finding it myself. Anyway, so this is Shindig Wednesday. That's I Continue to Tender, singing Want to Take You Higher. Okay, Dr. Mensing, we're talking about precocious puberty. And I was wondering, there's something called unilateral pigmentation with precocious puberty. Explain what that is. There's
a very rare syndrome. And essentially, people get pigments, dark spots on their skin, pigmentation only on half the body. All right, and it's at that age, it's early that you don't know. You know, the doctor's going to look for it. All right, but if you've got pigmentation only on one side of the body with precocious puberty, there's something called McCune-Albright syndrome. But it's essentially a very rare disease. I have never seen a case. But this is something that a parent can watch if your kid.
Do they not have any melanin in their skin? Or?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I would think probably a dermatologist would see that faster than anybody else.
No, anybody could. A parent can see the kid's got all moles on one side.
Yeah, I mean.
Pigment blocks.
When you see that, where are you going to take them? To a pediatrician or a dermatologist?
Probably early on, the dermatologist. They would not go to a dermatologist.
Okay.
They would most likely come into the doctor, the pediatrician or the primary care doctor.
But this is tremendously rare.
I've never seen a case, Kerry.
Right.
But you know, if you're a parent and you've got a kid that's precocious puberty and has dark areas only on one side of the body, you need to talk to your doctor and say, "Hold her. I heard this rare disease that Dr. Mensing said about.
Right,
I've never
right,
seen
right.
a case, all right? But because it can't be missed kind of thing. I've never seen a case. The other thing the doctor's going to look for is, are there headaches? Or are there what called neurologic signs?
Right.
Or is there what's called papilledema? All right, and that means the increased pressure in the brain. The doctor will look in their eyes at the disc in the eye and see if there's what's called papilledema. But here's the reason why. There's certain brain tumors that will cause this. Pineal gland tumors can do this, all right? And pineal gland masses in the front of the brain can do this. Here's what happens.
The testosterone?
There's several ways of doing this, but what happens is that you can get a tumor that puts out gonadotropin-releasing hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hormone that it is the key that sets the clock ticking for the it puts out FSH and LH, luteinizing hormone, and follicular stimulating hormone. This is what turns
the ovaries on.
The testicles and the ovaries on. This is what turns it on. Well, that gonadotropin releasing hormone, there can be tumors in the pituitary that make that. All right?
Sure.
Or you can have another mass or other tumor that's not making anything that puts pressure on that and makes it start making it. All right? It's being stressed, the kind of thing.
Got it.
All right? So that's the reason why. All right? But the doctor will look and say, one of the things that goes through his mind is there any problem in the pituitary area?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Another thing the doctor's going to do in boys is he's going to check the testicles. All right? Because at that age, you should have miniature, often undescended testicles at that age. All right?
Right.
All right? But he's going to check those. Because there's two things. There's called Leydig cell tumors, or you can get hyperplasia of the testicles, or they actually just grow too big early on, and it's really a problem with the testicle. It's not too much LH being put out.
Got it.
So the testicle's acting abnormal for its, and it'll be bigger than it should be, or one side will be bigger than the other. All right? And these are things are rare, by the way. We talked about earlier.
And so that one side would be kicking out the testosterone.
Exactly. Because he's got more LH producing it, all right? The other thing is that it used to be we used to do a pelvic exam on these girls. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why. Because you can have what's called granulosa cell tumors or rhinoblastomas. They're very rare, all right? But tumors of the pelvic area, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ovary area. Today, let's be real honest, Terry. Nobody does a pelvic exam on an 8-year-old girl. Well, this is going to be a 7-year-old girl. You follow me?
Right,
or a 6-year-old girl. I mean, we don't do that. So what do? We do a CT scan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're doing something non-invasive.
And we'll talk about that in a minute, what workup you do.
All sure.
Right? Also, the doctor's going to do an exam, especially, hopefully, if a kid is not overweight. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he can feel on the top of the kidneys on the adrenals and see if there's any adrenal masses. Because you can get adrenal cortical hyperplasia or adrenal tumors themselves that can make the go into early puberty. All right? Now, my experience, especially in the last 20 years, kids are getting fatter. All right?
Right.
I wish that wasn't so, but I look back 30 years ago, the kids versus today, we got fat kids. You can't feel their adrenals. You can't feel their kidneys often.
And it's a multitude of different things. It's not just that they're sitting around playing games and stuff like that. I mean, they're exposed to a lot more hormones. They're exposed to a lot more antibiotics and fast food.
Let me ask you this, Terry. Why is the craze for hormone-free beef?
Because then it won't affect...
These kids, exactly. You just hit the nail right on the head. All right. Some people believe it has an effect on these kids with premature puberty. We don't really, by the way, that I don't want to go into that because that's another subject, but we really don't know the answer to that, really, or for sure.
But there's not been a definitive study on
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But there's people, we suspect that may be having an effect. All
sure.
right? And that's where that, you know, grass-fed, no-hormone beef kind of thing, I'm going to do that not for my kids.
Right.
Not for me. It probably doesn't make much difference for me as an adult, but for my kids, if you got prepubertal kids, it may be worthwhile to do that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that if their exam is normal, or you can do a good exam. Okay, that's we mentioned about kids being fatter today. You can't do it, but if the exam is normal,
right,
Terry, 99% of these kids end up being normal. We call it precocious puberty, constitutional precocious puberty. We don't know why. I'm sorry, tough luck, it happens.
Yeah.
Now, there is a reason, but we don't know why, and there's nothing I can do about it. Now, let's talk what...
Could it be just when you start taking the history, you start asking the mom, so tell me, did you have prepubescent?
Yes. You're going into the next area I want to talk
about. Okay.
There's a genetic predisposition. We didn't realize that until probably 15 years ago. There's a genetic predisposition that runs in families.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, we don't know why, really. All right. And it may be we think it's a gene issue. But we really don't, at least I don't know why. Maybe the geneticists know this. But I don't know why. But there is a genetic predisposition. So the doctor will ask, what was your mother like? What was your sister like? What was your great-grandmother like? What was your
mm-hmm.
grandma like?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say that they were all short, an adulthood at 5 years, 5 feet zero or 5 foot two, and a whole history of breast cancer in the family. They're all short women, and they all have precocious puberty. Well, maybe this kid, let's dig a little bit more, all right?
Sure, sure.
And if we find nothing, all right, then maybe we need to send them to the genetic counselor and look and see what they can do. Now, I don't, very honestly, I don't know enough about that to speak, even address that right now. I haven't really studied that, but these kids, there is a place for genetic counseling for families.
Okay. There is a way that they can go get genetic counseling, and they'll go over some of the genomes and things that they'd have to look at.
I don't want to have it. I have zero.
And quite frankly, to find out the answer to whether it's a genetic sort of a thing doesn't really change the outcome.
No,
but we're going to come back, and you're going to talk a little bit about treatment.
Well, we can, or maybe let's start first on what it does, why it's important.
That's a great place to start.
Treatment is very, we'll just touch on it, but it's why it's important.
What effect this has.
Yes.
What effect this has.
Things you don't realize.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Terry Maxwell Show. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice here on KNZR, AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner.
Alexa.
Yes.
I need my news, weather, and sports.
Only one place to go.
Now, there is a great deal of excitement and anticipation in the air.
You're listening to the Terry Maxwell Show.
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight, all over the world.
We're playing some Herman's Hermits. I love this band. And it's Peter Noon, who's the main singer. I'm playing this for a good friend of mine who knows Peter Noon. Is it Noonan? Peter Noonan, I think. Anyway, he says that one of these days he's going to get him to be on this program. I can't wait for that. Okay, Dr. Mensing, what we're looking at precocious puberty, and we kind of left with, what does this do to the psyche, and
why is it important?
Why is it important?
Why is it important? That's probably talk all these things. What difference does it make? Okay, why
sure.
I know we've talked a little bit about short stature and the risk down the road of breast cancer. All right,
mm-hmm.
All right, and the genetic implications of that. All right, that's not one, but that's a small issue. All right,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to major on that. Here's what we know. First of all, we know that these kids initially grow faster but end up being shorter. All right?
Right.
These kids become more self-conscious at school and have more social problems in interacting with people. All right? That's the first issue. All right?
Yeah, because they know they're different.
Yeah, they know they're different. Okay? Number two, three is the amount of bullying goes through the roof. There's good documentation for that. These kids get bullied. All
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number four, I want you to think as a parent. You've got a kid with increased sex drive because of these hormones that are starting to function. All right. But he's not emotionally ready to deal with it.
He or she.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to think. We have enough problems. I mean, think of it realistically. You know, kids in 14, 15, 16, 17 have enough problems with their sex drives and dealing with emotionally. They're not ready till they're 18, 19, 20. All right,
right? Right.
What happens to a kid who's 6 or 7?
And these things are happening.
Just think of what's happening. Essentially, you're giving him all these sex drives. I don't know if it's the word giving him. That's not the right way to say
they're
it.
They're being produced.
All this sex drive is being produced, and they're not emotionally ready to handle it.
Yeah.
So what happens? They get abused.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they get into these
gangs for the boys.
Yeah, gangs. We'll talk about that, but that's true. All right. There's much more moodiness, much more depression and anxiety. All right.
Mm-hmm.
These kids, boys, they become more aggressive early on. All right. So what happens? You got a boy that's more aggressive. He's going to get in trouble.
Right.
All right? Whether we like it or not, he's going to. All right.
Juvenile hall, here I come.
Sure. Number two. What happens? He ends up hanging around with older boys.
Recipe for trouble.
That's what happens with gangs.
Right.
These kids go into the gangs. Oh, my gosh. All right? The next thing that happens, Terry, the statistics show this. They're more likely to start drugs early and start alcohol early. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right. So these are the things that the parent needs to be counseled on.
Yes. And the last thing, the stress, amount of stress these kids endure goes through the roof. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, two issues with this. All right? First of all, Terry, it's very easy to, you see the kid in a gang. All right? And it's easy to judge us and all this kind of stuff. We know the parent issues and all that kind of stuff. And those are important. But if you were God looking down at this kid that maybe went through premature puberty, and said, older, it puts a different perspective. Do you follow? This kid needs help, not being pushed down and squashed.
Right.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Right.
All right? These are kids that need help. There is no easy answer for it. The issues go through the roof of the emotional issues because these kids are not ready. They're not emotionally ready to deal with this amount of sex drive.
And that makes sense to all of us that are listening.
Exactly.
That are going, oh, this is, I mean,
Terry,
a lot of us are still struggling with our sexuality and you know, we're well over the 20-30 range.
We don't think of that as parents. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These are kids that need extra help, extra counseling, extra help.
We've got to take a break. We come back. Well, we just need to touch on treatment because there's not.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about
treatment when we get back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show on KNZR.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
Okay, so you've got a precocious puberty, and this is what they're singing. You need to, you know, start making some plans to put them in a lockbox for a few years. I'll tell you that. What do you do besides?
Let's go back to the original why it happens. Okay, you have gonadotropin releasing hormone. All right, that increases your FSH and LH, which makes your eggs work and your testosterone start working. The testicles make testosterone. There are what we call gonadotropin-releasing hormone agents. One of them is actually quite common, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We use it for certain cancers, all right?
Right.
Lupron.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Lupron. It is actually a GnRH blocking hormone that decreases your estrogen and things like that. Number two, number two, there's something called Tessalon. And then there's what's called Hystrelli LA implant. It's a little implant they put under the skin there for 6 months. And most of these end up being shots, by the way.
It's just to delay it.
Exactly, Terry. As long as there's no serious issues, you know, they've had their MRI of their brain, they've had their CT of their pelvis.
We're done.